Father, we want to thank you even today that your Holy Spirit, our teacher, will open our hearts and give us revelation that we may walk in all your truth, that we may come to the center of your purpose and your plan for which we have been created. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, O Lord, for giving this opportunity again. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The title of the message, I would say, if you remain silent, Second Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. Now, Israel is actually has gone away from the word of God, and they're having problems with other kings. And verse 24, and it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. It's their money. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help me, O Lord, O King." Now, the Syrians attacked Israel. And the result of that war brought about a great famine. A great famine. Now, we cannot spiritualize everything that is in the Bible, but there are so many things that are a type, and God has a purpose in writing these things to us that we may learn the deeper truths through the Holy Spirit. Now, famine is also a type of the lack of God's word, the light from God's word. People were living in darkness. The food is no more. The people are starving. Isn't it like this now? You see, even though a place like Canada or any other Western country, you can get all the spiritual food that you can get. Of course, there are plenty of physical food. They can take it from TV or the computer, internet, or from magazines, from books, or cassettes, you name it, they have it. But then still a famine in the hearts of people. There's a famine for God's word in the church. In a time like this, they were really having trouble after the war. Normally war leaves people with, you know, they're completely destroyed. And there is, most of the time, there is a sickness and also for lack of want of food. And there's a woman now approaching the king of Israel. Now watch this. A woman approaching the king of Israel. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help my lord the king." Now what she's saying to him. And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you?" Now as this king is speaking, as if now we will come, may think that he is so closer to the Lord. Because he's saying, if the Lord is not helping you, how can I help you? But we will find out whether he is near the Lord or not. So, from the threshing floor or from the wine press, verse 28, then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" Now this will sound weird and absurd and something that we cannot take. This actually happened. The famine was so severe, two women spoke with each other and said, I will cook my son today. Can you imagine that? And we will eat him. And they ate. And then the following day we will eat your son. What kind of demonic darkness that they were covered in with. It is absolutely they were under the power of demons. See? Then we will eat my son tomorrow. Verse 29. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her, on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. Now this woman, after eating her son, broke the agreement and then she went and hid her son. Can you see how they were hungry? You can see because of the famine of God's word, people are eating each other at homes. The parents are eating the children with words, cursing words. Words destroy people. They bite people. Families are being destroyed by famine of God's word. Maybe the husband is eating up the wife. The wife is eating up the husband. The children are eating up the parents. Why? The famine of the revelation of God's word. Demonic. Isaiah cried out in chapter 60, gross darkness shall cover the people. That's what is happening today. Some of the things that you see on the TV is unable to take up. Did they do this? I heard about a story, two teenagers got together and then killed her mother inside the tub recently. Just pressed her down and then killed her. Here in Canada. Two teenagers. Both her daughters. So much so, the demonic activity is attacking the families and the people. They hardly know what they are doing, what they are speaking. Can you imagine a mother, two mothers getting together and then cooking a child? To eat. God has a message for us here. Verse 30. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes as he passed on by the wall. The people looked and there underneath that he had sackcloth on his body. So he humbled himself. He wanted to fast now. What on earth has happened now? Why this famine has come and all that, right? Verse 31. Then he said, God do so to me, the more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. Now he gets mad with the servant of God. Because God spoke and said something, because Elisha was a prophet at that time, successor of Elijah. And even though God warned and brought forth the famine during the time of Elijah, they never repented. People are like that all the time. Probably they are a little bit okay just after the judgment, after that they go away. You read it all the time in the book of Judges and so on, you know, most of the time. And he got mad with Elisha. And what he does now is, the scene is he's sending messengers to Elisha. All right? But the messengers also told the king, you know, all these things are happening. Why? The famine? Because of the word of Elisha. He is the culprit. He is the troublemaker. So the king got mad. Okay? Are you following? Verse 32, Elisha was sitting in his house and the elders were sitting with him and the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast to the door. Is it not the sound of a master's feet behind him? While he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, Surely, this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So king understood, and then, you know, from the messengers, if this is from the Lord, if this problem is from the Lord, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? If this mess, God has done it, why should I wait for him? Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, now there is a messenger, there is an officer who is to stand next to the king. Now he hears these words of Elisha, and you know what he does? He's sarcastically mocking Elisha. He's mocking the prophet. Watch it, watch this. How dangerous it is. He said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, now who is talking now? Elisha. In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it, eat of it. Yeah, God may open the window suddenly and bless his people, but you can, will see it, but you will not eat. Never mock when God says something through the servants. We will see what happened for this messenger who mocked Elisha. Now, chapter 7, verse 3. Now we come, the scene is now outside the city. Right? Outside the city wall. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Now the lepers are cast out from the people. They are rejected because of this, the infectious disease, and they are lonely. They have no hope. They are left to die. This is a type of sinners. This is a type, even a type of Christians who are born again and are not doing anything for the Lord. They have no knowledge of their call, their purpose, the plan of God, but they are just living until death strikes them. Just like these lepers. Born again Christians waiting to die at the city gate. Imagine. Now, they're saying, why are we sitting here until we die? Have you asked that question to yourself? Why am I living? Why am I sitting here? Why should I be here in this city until I die? Never dawned on you, isn't it? I want to tell you, it has many times. And I want to say this, before the presence of the Lord, I want to say this, this message, it just popped out in my spirit as I opened my eyes this morning. Never went to my head. And I knew, yeah, I know that story. So listen carefully. Are you just waiting to die? Like these leprous men? So they're asking one another, hey, are we sitting here to die? Verse 4, if we say we will enter the city, the famine in the city, and we shall die there. Now, if we say that we will go inside the city, right? But there is famine there, and we are going to die anyway. Why? There is no food. So, if we sit here, we die. We go into the city, we die. Look at them, they're reasoning. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians, who came and messed up the whole city. Let us surrender to them. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. I mean, what? We stay here, we're going to die. We enter our city, we're going to die. But if we go to the Syrians, our enemies, there is a chance of our living. Maybe they show a little mercy to us and we can be alive. They will keep us alive and there is food in the enemy's territory. They have food. The Syrians have food. So let us go. Are you there? We stay here, we die. We enter the city, we die. If we go to the Syrians, they may kill us. Well, if they kill us, we only die, that's all. But if they